One of the saints of the 20th century, in my opinion, was the Jewish writer and theologian and Nobel Peace Prize winner, Elie Wiesel, who has written a number of books, one of which is a very thin, short, autobiographical piece entitled Night. And in that book, he tells of his experience as a teenager living in Nazi Germany and what happened to him and his family and his community in the Holocaust. He writes about that night when the soldiers came and arrested his family and all of the Jewish families of his village. He writes of how they were herded into cattle cars, 80 people to a cattle car, and shipped off to Auschwitz and other concentration camps. He writes of the inhumanity he saw, of the brutality he witnessed. He writes of that moment when he was separated for the last time from his mother and his sisters, when the men and the women were separated. He writes about the death of his father, and he writes what happens to his own soul as he witnesses all of this brutality. And in one of the most moving moments in that book, he writes these words. Never shall I forget that night, the first night in camp, which has turned my life into one long night, seven times cursed and seven times sealed. Never shall I forget those moments, which murdered my God and murdered my soul and turned my dreams to dust. Never shall I forget those things, even if I am condemned to live as long as God Himself. Never. When faith is shattered, Elie Wiesel writes in that book about a horrendous event that shattered his faith. It didn't take away his faith, but it shattered the assumptions that he had lived with all his life. It shattered everything he had been taught and everything he had believed from his youth, from his childhood, until the point at when these things happened. And it shattered his faith because it no longer made sense. How can you believe that God is good and God is loving and God is all-powerful and God will protect God's people and then see these things happen to your community? His faith was shattered on that night. And this describes something of the situation that Jeremiah was writing from. He was writing at a moment in the history of Israel when their faith was shattered. The year 586 BCE, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of Babylonia, were foraging all over the Middle East, conquering other nations, assimilating those peoples into the Babylonian Empire. And among the countries that they invaded and conquered were the nations of Israel and Judah. And they defeated their armies, they murdered lots of their people, they occupied their cities and their towns, they captured the capital city of Jerusalem. And in the event that probably symbolically was the most difficult to take, the most painful to see, they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, the architectural icon of Israel. They tore that temple apart, stone from stone. And then they took many of the leading citizens of Jerusalem into exile in Babylonia. And the faith of Israel was shattered because these events contradicted everything they had believed for over 500 years. They had believed that even though God created the heavens and the earth, and even though God was the God of every nation upon the earth, They had believed that God had chosen them to be a special people, to be a chosen people, and had made an eternal covenant with them and had promised to be their God and protect them. And now they had been conquered by another people. And that made no sense in light of what they believed God had promised them. And even though they believed that God was invisible and was everywhere, nevertheless, they believed that there was one special place on earth where God was uniquely present, in the temple in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies of the temple. And they believed that no mortal could enter that Holy of Holies because you'd be destroyed. And in fact, only one time a year, on the day of Yom Kippur, the chief priest could enter the Holy of Holies to make intercession for the whole nation for the year. And now that temple, the place where God was thought to live and dwell on earth, had been destroyed, torn, stone from stone. And this shattered their faith. How could this happen if God was who they thought God was? We encounter times in our life as well when faith is shattered, when our faith is shaken, when what we believe doesn't make sense anymore. And you can probably think of moments in your life or moments in the lives of people you love when their faith was devastated like this. How do we deal with those moments? One thing we can always do is just give up on the idea of faith, give up on the idea of God. That makes the intellectual problem go away if you don't mind living in a world that makes no sense and has no meaning. Another way that people often respond to a faith-shattering event is that they just hold on to their faith as tightly as they can and for as long as they can until the doubts dissolve away. I'm not sure that that works for very long either. You know, there are a lot of people in the world who want to do it that way. If you were to be at home this Sunday morning and instead of in church, and if you were flipping through the channels on your TV, the cable channels or the satellite channels, you'd probably come across dozens of religious broadcasts. And there's a certain sameness to them. You know, they each is unique in their own way. But each of them has an articulate minister, a man or a woman, telegenic, well-dressed, in front of a congregation of thousands in an impressive amphitheater, you know, freshly scrubbed family sitting together, following along in the Bible, taking notes of the pastor's sermon. I'm glad you're not taking notes. But the there's a certain similarity to the message, maybe not the exact content, but the message that goes out on all of these religious broadcasts, which suggests that this is what's selling out in the marketplace, is a message that's very simple. And when trouble strikes, there are just three things to remember or five things to do. People want simplicity. People want don't want ambiguity. People have a lot of difficulty if they have to struggle with conflicting ideas. So a lot of people choose for that simple solution of just holding on as long as you can until the doubt dissipates. But I think there's a third way. And the third way is to continue to hold on to the idea that there is a God, but also to hold on to all the questions that make God not make sense, and to work with those two ideas until something new emerges. That's what happened in the life of Israel during the Babylonian exile, after this incredibly painful event that Jeremiah tells us about. They were taken off into exile in Babylonia, and they didn't have their old faith to hold on to because the center of their old faith was in the temple. It involved the worship that took place in the temple, the sacrifices that took place on the altar in the temple. And they weren't there, and the temple wasn't there. And so the whole center of their religion had disintegrated. And there were only two things they could have done. They could have done what most conquered peoples did, which was assimilate into the culture that conquered them. After all, their gods must be stronger than our God because they won the war. But that isn't what Israel did. And their genius was that they were able to reinvent their faith in the midst of the exile. They were able to rethink what faith was about. And instead of being about ritual performed in a temple, the new center that began to emerge in biblical faith during the exile was the idea that what is at the center of faith is ethics, how we live our lives. They asked the question, what does it mean to live a life that brings glory to God in this new circumstance that none of our traditions ever anticipated? They did the hard work of reinventing their faith. And so this tragedy ultimately proved to be a time of new beginnings, and something even greater emerged than had been shattered. We've been through, as a nation, an event that shattered our faith, 9/11. And the aspect of faith that 9/11, I think, has shattered is the idea that there is one true faith and one true way to worship God. Because the people who did this were people who believed that. They believed they had the one true faith. They believed that everybody else was infidels. And they thought that they either had to convert or destroy them. And I think 9/11 exposes that as being not worthy of God. We need a new center of our faith. And I think that center, the direction, began to emerge almost immediately after September 11th. Remember what we started to do as a nation? One of the things I remember was the prayer service that took place in the National Cathedral. And prayers were offered by a Catholic priest and a Protestant minister and a rabbi and an imam. And we all started to pray together, and we all started to acknowledge we have the same God. And at Yankee Stadium, 12 days after September the 11th, there was a huge service held. You can imagine how many people could fit into Yankee Stadium. And it was led by Christians and Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Sikhs. And one of the people participating in that service was a man by the name of David Bethke. And he was and is the president of the Atlantic District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He took part in this service. He led one of the prayers in this service, attended by thousands of people. And would you believe that there were members of his very conservative denomination who strongly objected to his having taken part in an interreligious service? And in fact, they brought him up on charges. And they said that he had committed idolatry by worshiping with non-Christians. That seems to me that this is the center of the problem that 9/11 has shattered. This way of thinking and living out of our faith no longer makes any sense in this world, because if we keep going in that direction, we're just going to end up destroying ourselves. We need to invent a new center of our faith. And I think that center has a very simple affirmation, that people of all faiths have a place at God's table. People of all faiths have a place at God's table. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Is there a way to get people to recognize that we're all children of one God and therefore brothers and sisters together? Is there something that can help us come together under the banner of God's love this is the vision I believe we have to offer to our church, to our nation, and to the world, a people of all faiths have a place at God's table. Amen.